This afternoon, you're listening to the Todd LeBorowitz Show, Real Estate Radio and Sound Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answer. I'm your host, Todd LeBorowitz, and this segment is brought to you by Clothesline Settlements, our preferred partner for all your closing needs. Well, you're in for a special treat today because in the studio with us now is the one and only Gerard DiRuggiero. He's the principal broker of Urban Land Company, and he's been here in the area for over 20 years. So we got to call him a Washingtonian. I think the rule is anything past 13, you're officially a Washingtonian, but you are from Jersey.
Yes, I am.
And thank you for coming in because you have that. You're like a hot topic where not a lot of people understand what a pop-up is. And you're like the person that to go to explain it. And we have you here to answer a lot of questions.
Terrific. Glad to be here.
But before we start, let's hear about your background, your history. How'd you get into real estate? What's your story?
Okay. Well, I've been in real estate for about 30 years. And I started right out of college by buying apartment buildings, owning and operating those, and learning a heck of a lot. We really got in there thinking we were going to run them and pay them off. And then we started to learn that that isn't what you do. What you do is run them and run them and run them.
And so you were initially an investor.
An investor, yes.
And you got a little bit in over your head.
Right. Bought a couple of hundred units at a very, very young age. I got all my gray hair from that, is what I like to say. But learned a heck of a lot about the bricks and mortar. And when we moved down to D.C. about 15 years ago or so, about 18 years then, I got into the brokerage business. So I learned retail brokerage from one of the larger firms. And I started my own firm about 15 years ago.
And that's an interesting time because back 15 years ago for our listeners, everyone was trying to get out of DC real estate. And you're sitting there going into DC real estate.
Yeah, exactly. It was much slower. But I did learn, I did see the market begin to rise and then participated in the full boom and learned a heck of a lot about general brokerage and how that works. So when I started my firm, we were well positioned with a lot of good knowledge. And now, as surviving the downturn, because I owned and operated a lot of stuff that was difficult to sell, learned a heck of a lot, and was able to give my clients during the downturn a lot of good advice. So it was, it's been a good experience.
So you would consider yourself an expert?
I do consider myself an expert, and many do. We know a lot about development and the brokerage.
Wonderful. Also, you're very hip. You have, how do you come up with the name Urban Land Company?
Well, first I'll say is that we were the first urban.
Okay.
Many followed after us, but we do consider ourselves certainly the first broker that used that term. It just came to me one day, and I was thinking of names, and it popped in there, and I jumped online, and it was one of the, probably when the internet was just starting, and I registered it, and, off we went.
Wonderful. And you're not a small shop. How many agents do you have?
No, we're not. We're a, modern, expanding firm. We have 18 or 19 agents, and we're growing. We have several that are in licensing, pre-licensing now, do a lot of that. We're unique in the D.C. market as we have a new construction sales, which I rep developers who build things, and we can talk about the pop-up stuff, and that's where my expertise on that is. And then we have general brokerage, which offers a lot to buyers, first-time buyers, because we have a lot of product that's coming online that's not in the MLS. And that gives our buyers a big advantage. So it's really taken off, and people are really appreciating what we do.
Very nice. So you got that niche, and you have that reputation of being the go-to person when somebody wants to find that key property within the city.
They do. And one thing we've been doing a lot of is social media. We are a big Facebook presence. I think we have over 6,000 fans now, or getting close to that. And we're really starting to make transactions off of that and connect with people. We run first-time home buyer programs, twice a week, seminars, and we get lots of the people that come right through Facebook.
So you're getting a good audience and a good draw.
Oh, we really are. We were doing them once a week, and because of the demand, now we're doing them twice a week.
Wow, that's great. Well, before we get into it, let's talk about the definition of pop-ups for those that don't know. How would you best describe it?
What people describe a pop-up would be where you have a row of homes that are all the same size, and your neighbor goes and by right builds an additional story Many times not as compatible with the architecture of the building. And I think that's where sort of the slang term pop-up became popular. And I think that that's probably the definition there.
But are they safe?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everything would need to go through the typical code inspections. And I think the safety and the construction of them is, well planned for and engineered.
Wonderful. Well, by the way, if you're just tuning in, I have with me Gerard DiRuggiero he's a principal broker of Urban Land Company. I'm your host, Todd the Borwood, and you're listening to the Salem Broadcast Network, AM 1260, The Answered. Now, let's get into the pop-up. So what was the turning point where people started doing pop-ups? Were there like heavy rules where you couldn't do it before and then it was alleviated? Or I heard a story that there used to be like a height limit in D.C., and it's the same as like the Air Rights Building in Bethesda. And then they got rid of that rule. Like, where's the turning point of all this?
Well, I think that might be...
Squash all the rumors.
Right. I think you're gelling two myths right there. I think one would be that you couldn't build over the Washington Monument.
That's what it was. Okay.
That is commonly referred to. And I think that that's loosely true. And that is the same. But as far as the pop-ups come, no, they didn't have a change in the zoning. I think it was a little change in people's attitude about being willing, developer or an owner, to actually put that story on top that was, appealing and visually not compatible with the neighborhood. So it was really a function of the demand in the market that, encouraged property owners or developers to do that to essentially get more sellable feet, square footage, or make their home larger.
So so from an economy standpoint, you go in, you buy this property, you can rehab it, you can rehabilitate it, whatever it is. And then if you need more square footage because you can rent out the rooms, you build this pop-up. Or if you just want more room because you don't want to move out of the city, but you want to have more children.
Exactly. There are several reasons why people would do it. And what you see a lot of them are through conversions to condominiums. As the city has gotten prohibitively expensive for certainly first-time home buyers and many home buyers in general, the condominium market took off. And the pop-up is really a result of that. Many times you'll see the pop-up is going to be a property in an R4 zone, which is what they're talking about when they talk about pop-up. That's a zone that allows for construction of up to 40 feet and 900 square feet of land per unit. Typically, that's going to result in D.C. with two units. Most lots are about 1,800 square feet. There are some larger ones, and we can talk about that, but generally speaking, so you'll end up having a single family on three floors, maybe including the basement, two floor and then a basement. And many of those layouts are very cramped and outdated. So they'll pop up, put a second or a third story, it will be, on top of that and cut that into two larger condominiums, gut them, make them much more open, have the bedrooms larger, two bathrooms, and really modernize that, and then sell that for less than it would the cost of a large single family. If they just popped it up and left it as one family, they would go for, say, in Petworth, $800,000 or $900,000 or more, even up to $1 million. And if they cut them into two large two-level condos, you can accommodate essentially two families for probably $600,000.
That's wonderful. And plus, when you order, the permits and everything, showing that you're doing a pop-up, it creates more square footage and the city's getting more revenue from it.
Exactly. That is one of the points that I did attend the zoning hearing on that I don't believe the city has thought out as well as they should. But that will certainly affect the tax revenues, and we'll drop them down.
Well, we keep talking about all the good things, and there's some things that frustrate me personally, which when the kids go around and have their pants down and you see the underwear, it's like, pull your pants up. And I feel like that's a legitimate thing to basically complain about. But there's a lot of backlash with the pop-ups. I don't think it's a bad thing.
I don't know what you're talking about on either of those things. I can understand the backlash.
Why would someone compete? Like, it just because they might think it's an eyesore or they're jealous they can't do it.
This is it's going to be a complex question. But the people's the argument that comes up a lot on it is aesthetics. So they don't like the way they look.
But who's the audience saying that they don't like how it looks? Are they a legitimate claim saying this is something I don't like how it looks? Or is it just, hey, it's my neighborhood, I don't want to see it?
It's going to be neighbors, you know, adjacent neighbors, neighbors on the block. Just keep in mind that not every house has been popped up. Now, if every house on the block gets popped up, you won't notice the aesthetics, you know, won't be, you know, as negative as they are. But when one person pops it up in the middle of the block, it stands out like a sore thumb, and it's an easy target for, you know, people to complain about. So a lot of it is really, you know, driven by the way it looks. Not necessarily that there's two units in it all of a sudden, more residents, etc.
All right. Well, Gerard, I don't want to let you go just yet. We're going to come back and we're going to talk more about the pop-ups. But I do want to pull in one of our very own John Henry into the studio to kind of join the conversation, because he's the one that introduced me to the name pop-ups. And I'm finding it fascinating. So coming up next, we're going to have John Henry and Gerard back in the studio.